The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Very excited about being able to say that it's a new year. With a new year, there's new opportunities, new challenges, so many new things. How many of you made a New Year's resolution? One. Two. Did you hear? How many? A New Year's resolution? Anyone? Okay. Three of you. Wow. They're, I guess, a thing of the past. How many of you decided to you're going to go to the gym this year? Some of you need to. And you need to invite me, because I was 178 a year ago, and I'm 202 now. Yeah, I need some help. So if you decide to go to the gym, invite me. I'll probably decline, but at least it's the thought that counts, right? So, there's so many new things that come with New Year's. And today I want to kind of kick off this new year for us as Hope Hill Church with really looking back to what God has called us to be and to do, and to renew in us a passion for the mission that God's called us to. That video really captured it beautifully. For so long, I grew up in a church thinking that missions was something that just a few select people were chosen and called by God to do. You know, they got ready, they prepared, they raised a lot of money. They flew to places like Africa or Asia or South America, and it was something far away. But the truth that scriptures teach us is that the mission field is wherever God has sent you. Wherever you eat, sleep, study, play, shop, that is your mission field. That is where God has planted you, and that is where God wants to use you. Hopefully, if you've been here for any length of time, you hear that message from us often. But with that, there are going to be new things ahead of us. There are going to be new challenges. There are going to be new opportunities. And we need to remember what the mission is all about. And so today I want us to go back to the old. I want us to go back to the Old Testament, the book of Joshua. Actually, I'd love to sit down right now and have Jared come give this message, because he really kind of gave this message his year he graduated from college from Joshua chapter 1. So you feel ready to preach today, Jared? No? Okay, I'll take it from here. It's exciting, though, to have a lot of our college kids back. Joshua chapter 1 is where we're going to look today. And we're looking again at the foundations that really were established for us years and years ago, but how they apply so powerfully today to remind us that God has a plan, and if we follow Him, He will do amazing things through us. Let's look at what is captured here in the book of Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all the people, what? Get ready. Get ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for some football? And not if you're a Redskins fan. And not if you're a Bronco fan anymore either. I grew up in Denver, but unfortunately there's this one team called Cowboys or something. Get ready. Are you ready? Are you ready for 2017? Joshua was challenged to get the people ready. God said, get ready. There's something I'm about to do. And I'm telling you here today that I know that God has been laying on the heart of those who came together 6 years ago to plant this church, and those who have been added to this team since then. God has been preparing our hearts. He's been leading us. As we have seen Him move, we've been trying to get behind Him, to follow Him. We've been trying to keep ourselves ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? Now then, you and all these people, get ready. Get ready to what? Get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give them. I want you to walk along the shore till you find a shallow part where there are stones. Is that in your version? That's not? It's in mine. That's weird. No, it's not at all. You see, actually, we're going to see in chapter 3, verse 15, that the Jordan River was at flood stage right now. It's overflowing. It's raging. And Joshua's like, what? I mean, 40 years earlier, there's this rumor that God like parted the sea and the people out of Egypt passed through it. But really? You want us to go this way? get ready. Get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. I mean, it's a pretty big picture. I don't know if you're like my wife and so beautifully talented in geography. Driving from Virginia to Florida, she asked when we would cross through Texas. But So for those of you that are challenged in that area, I've got a couple images for you. Okay, so that blue dot over there is where we are now. And if you zoom in over to this part of the world over here, the Mediterranean Sea is right there in the middle. And along that bank there is the area where the Israelites were being led. They had just left this area over here of Egypt, made their way over, and what should have took them a short trip lasted 40 years. That's a whole other sermon for another day. But as they make their way up towards that area where it says Jordan, God promises, hey, all of this land from the Mediterranean to the Euphrates over here, all of that land was promised to them. So I'm going to give it to you if you follow me. You zoom in a little closer, you'll see where they were camping out. See where that Route 40 is roughly? Where 40 meets 45, except those routes weren't there when Joshua was there. But they were about there, and they were about to cross the river. Down here is the Dead Sea. The Jordan River is feeding the Dead Sea, and the land of Jericho is just there on the other side. So God says, you know, this is the land. This is the plan I have for you. And the truth is that zoom out quite a bit there. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the what? The world. God has a plan for every single person, every single land, every single nation and tribe and language and tongue. And his plan is going to be accomplished through the church. The church is his plan A, and there is no plan B. It is his purpose, his mission. The mission field is wherever he has placed you. Here, he is telling those who are getting ready to cross into the land of Canaan, the land we now kind of know is Israel and the surrounding countries, I'm going to give you that land. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, verse 6, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Joshua was raised up. This man, Moses, before him, was raised up by God. And you know, Moses wasn't like some holier-than-thou guy born with the purpose. He was born with a purpose, but it wasn't. He was a broken man, just like you and me. But God chose to use him anyway. And God used him to lead the people out of Egypt, out of captivity, to this land of promise. And now God was going to use another man, a man named Joshua, to lead the people into the land. God had a plan for this land, and God has a plan for the world, and God has a plan for the land where we are today. Let's check out this land. It's very important for us to realize that everywhere we are called by God to be the people he's called us to be. Missions is not just a job set aside for a few chosen people. Each and every one of you, if you are a child of God, if you believe that God is your Lord and Savior, if you believe that Jesus died for you on the cross and took your sins away, you are a missionary. God wants to use you. Get ready. Joshua chapter 3. So Joshua has gathered his forces together. He's called his commanders, and he's like, okay, we need to get the word to all the people that God has given us a plan, so let's do this. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders that they had received from God through Joshua. They gave these orders to the people. And this is what was said. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and what? Follow it. Back in this day and time, this ark that was carried by these Levitical priests stood as a symbol of the presence of God in the midst of the people. And when the Levitical priests would move this ark, it was time that for you to become aware that God was on the move, and it was time for you to respond by following it. Is God moving in your life? Are you ready? Are your eyes open to it? You know, it's not good enough for us to be aware of God's movements and not follow. God calls us to follow. The instructions were clear. When you see the movement of God, when you see the ark of the covenant of God move, follow it. There are going to be times and situations where you are camping outside a flood stage river and God is going to choose to move. There are going to be times when you're sitting in a cubicle at work and not sure, this is not a holy place, I'm not sitting in a church building, and God's going to choose to move. There are going to be times you're sitting in a class that you hate, and God is going to choose to move. There are going to be times when you're looking over at that neighbor that you love so much, right? And God is going to choose to move. Are you ready to follow Him? Wherever we eat, sleep, study, play, shop is the place where God has called us to follow Him when He moves. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go. Which way do we go? Well, what does God say? Where's God moving? I'm reminded of a passage in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 says this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. For this is your true and proper worship, giving everything to Him. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm so excited. In February, we are going to start a church-wide series. Every community group, we're going to start a class here on Sunday mornings. We're all going to go through this class called Transformed. It's a class that's going to lead us to look at our relational life, our social life, our spiritual life, our vocational life, every area of our life, and to ask the question, God, has my life been transformed in each and every area? Am I seeing you moving in every single area, and am I following you in every single area of my life? I'm excited. It's going to take us through all of February up to Easter. If you're not in the community group, we're going to start a class on Sunday mornings for those of you who can't make a community group. But God calls us to be transformed people. Not just part of our life, not just the religious part. Oh, yeah, I got that part of my life checked off. Our whole life transformed for Him. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Then and only then. I don't know what God's saying to me. Are you following Him? It's not good enough to just listen to someone that's up ahead. Oh, they're following God. I'll just listen to what they have to say. God wants to know if you are ready to follow Him. It says, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go. Since you have never been this way before, as a church body, there are going to be places and directions God is leading us to go. I have no idea how we're getting some of the places God's leading us to go. But I know He's told us to go. And you know what? You may not know what's around the corner. You may not know what's next month. You may not know what's next year. But God is already there. And if God is calling you to go, He will enable you to be able to go. another thing that we have to be careful is that we don't allow circumstances and situations like this to paralyze us in our mission. They're standing before a Jordan River that doesn't have just a few pebbles and a few shallow areas to cross. It's at flood stage. It's seemingly not possible to cross this river. And for too long, too many Christians have said, well, if God wants us to go, He'll open a door. Sometimes God wants us to bust through a wall. There have been story after story of no open doors, but God says, go anyway. God didn't remove the giant. He had David go out and take care of it. After they get through this Jordan River, what's next? Remember that map I had up there? There's this little town called Jericho. The walls around that city, Jericho, archaeologists say were so thick that they could have chariot races on top of the walls. There was no open door for the people of Israel. Hey, come on in. God sometimes doesn't open a door. He leads us to allow Him to bust through a wall. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've not been this way before. The next thing we need to be careful is we need to get ready, we need to follow God, but we need to not get ahead of God. Keep a distance about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. There have been many times where I've been excited in my passion, like, oh, yes, God, He's going to have us do this. Let's go. And I'll run and I'll get ahead. And sometimes God's like, yeah, I didn't say go that way. Sometimes we can do that in our own lives. We can see a mess in our lives and we think, okay, God, I know this mess can't be from You. I'm going to fix it. And we sometimes make a bigger mess. You ever been there? You ever done that? Keep a distance. Let's not get ahead of God. I'm not saying you shouldn't try to plan for the future. I'm not saying you shouldn't dream dreams and bring those requests and those dreams to God. I'm begging you to dream dreams and ask God, God, make these dreams possible. But let's take every single step before Him in prayer. And prayer is so important. A couple weeks ago or last week, we did our prayer time the first Tuesday of each month. We invite you to come and help us to seek God together. We need Him to lead us. Sometimes we're not going to know where to go, but He knows where He's leading us. But if we're just walking around aimlessly and not seeking Him for direction, what good are we going to do? I'm so grateful for the many of you that helped us plant Hope Hill Church, that have joined us since then, and that you faithfully are regularly interceding on behalf of the rest of this body. Praying and say, God, show us, lead us, show us our next steps. God, You've given us an idea for hope centers and communities of hope, and we've seen how You've done this and this, but we don't know how You're going to do that, but we believe You're going to. God, lead us, and He will. Let us remember, though, to keep back a distance and let God lead us. But keep a distance, about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. The next thing is really important. Verse 5 says, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecration. Consecrate yourselves. What is this? God is not looking for holy people that He can use. He's not. God is looking for available people that He can put back together. He is looking for people who have a mess in their life, who are broken, that He can come in and take your mess and make a masterpiece. That He can come in and say, you know what, you can't do it on your own, but I can do it through you. He is in the business of taking people who have been counted out and rejected and using them to do amazing things. Consecrate yourselves, for the Lord is about to do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourselves. So in that, we come before the Lord and we say, God, is there an area in my life where I'm out of alignment with You? Is there some sin or something that so easily tangles me up. Every time I try to run after you, I get tangled. Help me to throw those things off that easily trap me up. And help me to run with perseverance the race set out before me in you. God, help me to renew some things I should be doing in my life. How often are you in God's Word? How often are you gathered together with other brothers and sisters in Christ and praying through the things He's laying on your heart? How often are you taking your struggles and sharing them with others who can lift you up in times of need? There are things that we can do to begin to prepare ourselves, to get ready, to consecrate ourselves. God is not about waiting for a holy person to walk into its midst that He can use. He's waiting for a broken, available person that He can do amazing things through. And this room is full of us. I'm more broken than many of you here. And I simply come to God and say, God, I know I can't, but I pray that You will. And I count it an honor and a privilege that I'm able to be standing before You today, to be a part of this church family. I believe God is ready to do amazing things through us. We have to be a people willing to be broken and going on our face before Him, getting ourselves ready for the amazing things that He is about to do. Verse 6. Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So that they went ahead and took it up, and they went ahead. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all of Israel, so they may know that as I was with Moses, I will also be with you. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." There are many times that we walk up to a challenge and we expect, okay, if God wants us to go through this, don't worry, the challenge will go away. God's going to take care of it. As they approached that water, I'm sure some of them, these Levitical priests, I'm sure some of them heard how God made the waters part. Okay, we're getting closer. There's no parting of water going on here. God never promised to remove the challenges and struggles in our life. God never promised an easy road. In fact, He guaranteed, as I suffered, you will also suffer. But as He said in 1:5, "As I was with Moses, so I will also be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." And it's many times that in the midst of the flooding rivers of our life where God will meet us. He says, go, don't walk up to the edge, but go and stand in the river. And for many of us, that's a call to take a step of faith. Instead of waiting for that door open, to go ahead and take that step forward into the water. And then wait and see what God does. Because of time, I'm going to jump down. We're going to jump down and see what happens. Look at verse 14 with me. "So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan was at flood stage all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Abra, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite of Jericho." Through one challenge, just to meet another. But it's in those times of challenge that God shines. It's in our weakness that He becomes strength. And you may be sitting here tired, like, God, one more challenge. I don't know if I can take it. God will not test you beyond what you can bear. And in the midst of our trials and testing, He is there with us to provide a way out, to provide a way through, and to work in the midst of all challenges and struggles ahead of us. The priest carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground. Check this out. While the rest of everybody else passed, until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. And some of you are called to stand in the gap. Some of you have stood up to that call. Some of you have the gift of being by people's bedsides. I know that we've had some of you have been in hospitals times and seasons. And some of you have felt led to go to that waiting room and just to wait in prayer. Some of you have sat by bedsides while people struggled and through diseases and while lives have passed from this life to another. Several of you have stood in the gap in praying along with someone as God led them through a challenge. Here, these priests stood in the middle of this river, of this challenge, until everybody else passed. And we need more priests raised up from you who are willing to stand in the midst of struggles and sufferings on behalf of the people until God leads us all through. Some of you, God is preparing to be that kind of person, praying as an intercessor, raising you up to be an encourager to someone who is going through struggles and trials. This body, we need one another. God is equipping each of us to have our different role, our different route to run in the game of life that He has created for us. And if every single one of us will listen to that call, God will do amazing things through us. God is calling some of us to stand in the gap and to pray on behalf of others while God leads us. You know, there are some challenges before us, some good challenges. We have this big, audacious dream of reaching all of Northern Virginia. The truth is that God has a plan. And we just need to be faithful and to keep seeking Him for Him to lead us through these things. I want you to see how beautiful this is. In the book of Acts, chapter 17, Paul was able to speak to a group of philosophers and poets, and he was trying to share with them the truth of who God is. But these people were really religious. They were so religious that they had idols to every known god so that they could have every base covered. And they were so religious that they even had an idol with the inscription that said, "To the God we do not yet know," to an unnamed God. So Paul walked into the middle and he put them all down because they were all worshiping idols. Is that what he did? As many times what the church does, we see sin and we storm in saying, "We're going to tear it all up." But Paul didn't take that approach. He walked into the midst of them and he said, "I see that you are all very religious. I see that you even have an idol to a God you don't know yet. I want to tell you about that God." That's what God is raising up among us, people who are going to go into the dark places of the land where He has sent us to share truth and love with those who do not yet know who God is. And some of those people who God is calling us to reach are going to be in that cubicle sitting next to you at work. Some of you are going to be in the desk sitting next to you in class. Some of you are going to be that neighbor that you love so much. Look at what he goes on to say as he's describing this God to these people. Verse 24 of Acts 17. He says, "This is the God who made the world and everything in it. It is the Lord of heaven and earth." And I want you to know that He doesn't live in temples. We don't serve a God who lives in the church building down in the corner. He lives in the hearts of men and women who have been called and transformed by Him. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the dwelling place of God as you walk through this land. God is with you and in you. He doesn't live in temples made by human hands. It goes on, it says, "And He is not served by human hands as if He needs anything." Here's a newsflash. He doesn't need us. But He invites us. He invites us to be a part of what He is doing around us. Rather, He Himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man He made all nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And check this out. He marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. I believe that God called you to live at this time in this season in Northern Virginia He planted this time in history. He planned for this location that you would live in. I showed you a map a minute ago of the land where God was sending Joshua. But here is our land. Check out this map. Do we have those maps, Mason? That blue dot is us. And the land where God has appointed us to live in this time and season is right there. As we zoom in a little closer, you'll see some of you are in Dumfries, Stafford, Manassas, Alexandria, Bealeton. All of these areas are the areas where God has called us. Hope Hill Church is one part of the small body of Christ that lives in this area. And as we unite ourselves with other brothers and sisters, we will do and set ourselves apart, consecrate ourselves. We will see God do amazing things in this area. This is where God is calling us. It says that God has marked out the appointed times in history and the boundaries of the lands where we would live. And why did He do this? Verse 27. God did this so that they would seek Him. He put you in the Pentagon so that your coworker would seek Him. He put you at Nova Community College so that your classmate would seek Him. He put you on your sports team so that your goalie would seek Him. He has placed you where you are to be His missionary wherever you are. God did this so that they would seek Him and perhaps reach out to Him and find Him, though He is not far from any one of us. Our mission for 2017 is the same mission it was for Joshua. It was the same mission that He has established from the beginning of time. It is for us to be His missionaries in the land where He has sent us to declare His love and His truth so that those who are far from Him will come to know Him as their Savior and Lord. How are we going to do that? More on that next week. Let's pray. Father God, as we come before You this morning, God, I call out to You, I beg You that if there's somebody in this room this morning who doesn't know Your love, who has never received Your forgiveness, who feels like their life is just a mess, they would see redemption as possible in You. Lord Jesus, I thank You that You are a loving God who chose to humble Yourself, so much so that You laid down Your life in our place and You took our sins upon Yourself when You hung on the cross, when Your blood was shed. You offer forgiveness freely to any who would receive it. Your Word says that though our sins be as scarlet, they will be washed white as snow. Father God, if there's somebody here this morning who's never called out to You and asked You for forgiveness, I pray that they would do it right now. You can call out to Him and say, Jesus, forgive me. Come into my life and make me new. Help me to understand forgiveness and begin to follow You. I pray Your Holy Spirit would come into my life and make me the person You want me to be. Thank You for dying for me. God, I also pray for those in this room who know You as Savior, who know You as Lord, that we would truly see ourselves as the missionaries You're honestly calling us to be. We are Your plan A and there is no plan B. God, help us to embrace the mission, the call to be Your missionaries wherever we are, wherever we go. God, I pray that if there are things in our life that are keeping us from running the race You've called us to run, from being the missionary You called us to be, help us to throw off those sins that so easily entangle. Help us to repent of those things and to come clean to You, knowing that You are the one who can put us together and use us to do amazing things. Move among us this morning, I pray. God, I am excited about the vision that You are unfolding in our church. I'm excited about next week being able to share more of what that vision looks like. But God, I pray that You prepare us, that You show each of us our role to play in this team that You are building here, as a part of this local church, which is just a part of the broader, bigger church in this area, and that together we would all be unified and come to see you do amazing things in reaching Northern Virginia and Washington, D.C., and the United States and the ends of the earth. Move among us, I pray. Draw us to yourself. In a moment, as our worship team leads us, we have a few places, a couple up front and a couple in the back, where you can be reminded of how this is all possible. That Christ, when He gave up His life, before He was crucified, He took a piece of bread and He broke it and He said, "This is my body. As you eat of it, remember what I've done for you. And now go and live for me." And He took that bread and He dipped it in a cup and He said, "This cup is a symbol of my blood shed that will be shed for you, that will wash you clean and forgive you." As we dip this bread in this cup, let us remember what He did for us. And the call now on our lives to leave this place as the church, leaving this place to live as missionaries for Him. As you feel led, I invite you, if you are a child of God and you believe in this mission that He has called you to, I pray that you come and you receive communion. If you would like to take communion as a family, we have a station in the back where you can serve one another. We also have prayer team members around the room, and I'd love to pray with you. If there's something going on in your life that you just are dealing with alone, you don't need to be. Come and let one of us know. We'd love to pray with you. If you gave your heart to Jesus today, if you called out to Him and said, "Forgive me, I want you to be my Savior," if you became a new believer, I invite you to also let one of us know. We would love to celebrate that with you and pray with you as well. And then the last part. That card I mentioned. If you believe that God is calling you to be a part of this team this year, I invite you to fill that card out and turn it in as you leave today. If you need to talk with your family and pray about it, that's fine as well. But consider joining what God is doing here and letting us know that you're on board. God, I thank you so much for choosing to use us. I thank you that you love us. Now move among us. Help us to respond by the leading of your Holy Spirit, I pray, in your name. Amen. I invite you to stand and respond now as God leads you.